Hi, I'm Eric Dahm, a pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, as always, Bob, it's great to be with you here in studio, and today we're going to be talking about a very important article. In fact, I know your daughter, who does a lot of work with you, has claimed it's probably the most, most read one as of late. It's called Toxic Devotion, A Review of Sarah Young's Jesus Calling, and this is issue number 125. Now, if I were to summarize what this is really about, it's about the distinction between metaphysical impressions and knowing God through this supposed awareness of presence versus trusting what's revealed in the scriptures.
It's an attack against the objectivity of revelation. In other words, the Bible claims that God literally appeared to people like Abraham and Moses, and that Jesus came in the flesh and spoke face to face with his disciples, that God who existed from all eternity, the very creator, the triune God of the Bible, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, comes into human history, is born of a virgin, and literally taught his disciples.
Yeah.
The biblical writers, especially the New Testament ones, the apostles and the people they appointed, that's how we know who God is and what he said.
Right.
And the great acts that he's done in history that are objective and confirmed.
Right.
Okay, they're real things that God did in real time and space.
Right.
All the other spiritual religions, the mystical ones, have some idea in their mind.
Right.
Or there's contacts with the world of the spirits.
Right.
So the thing that we have that nobody else has is God has spoken once for all in his Son, Hebrews 1, 1 through 3.
Yeah.
So in these books, the first one that I read was given to me by a CIC reader many years ago.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at it. In fact, it was somebody who wrote an inscription in there to somebody, gave it to them. The copyright on this is 2004.
Wow. 14 years now.
Yeah. Today, my daughter was at a meeting for homeschool mothers and was in a church building, and she sent me pictures of the books that they have in that building that they're promoting, which is a Lutheran church, by the way.
Right.
It's all this Jesus Calling, Sarah Young for children and this and that, for women, for children. So this mystical, unbiblical, non-Christian religion with a spirit Jesus who talks from heaven, rather than the true Christ, who actually spoke to real apostles on the earth and ascended into heaven, and he hears us. This lady, this Sarah Young, was not satisfied with that, which she says in her first book.
Right.
And so she wants a Jesus that talks to her.
Wow.
And he does so in very romantic. In fact, it almost makes you blush to hear some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Coming supposedly from the Jesus who's in heaven.
That's right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. On your first page of your article, you talk about the problem of private mysticism and this idea of metaphysical impressions. You know, it's interesting, Bob, here the Sarah Young really, in a sense, purports to be a prophet, and she substitutes inspiration of the Holy Spirit by her own imagination. She really imagines these impressions, and then they become binding as to how we're to draw close to God. And, you know, Bob, this whole problem also ties into the big root problem, I think, of pantheism, where God is being returned to nature. And why don't you speak to that problem of pantheism again?
Well, one of the things I noticed when I did this research is that not that many years before I wrote this article, which was written in 2013, I'd written about Eckhart Tolle, who's a pantheist.
Yep.
And we just did some radio on emergent, which is panentheism. So they say God is in everything. So in one way or another, They either say God is everything.
Right.
And all of these thoughts we have are just insanity in the mind of God. Or God is in everything, and there's some creator-creation distinction, but very faintly so.
Yeah.
Whereas the Bible teaches that God is transcendent
right.
in his essence and being, that he created the world out of nothing, that he exists from all eternity with the attributes of God,
right.
omniscience, and so forth, omnipresence and the various
yeah.
things that we know to be true about God, and that he created, and that he created human beings in his image,
right.
that he gave moral law, even in the garden, do yeah, not amen. Eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that there was a fall, that Satan lied and deceived Eve,
right.
saying you could be like God, and denying what God said. The Bible is true to what's real.
Right.
But humans don't want to hear that because it also teaches about divine judgment.
Right, right.
See, so we have the objectivity of God creating, God appearing to people.
Right.
And speaking to them. And we have his plan of salvation.
Right.
And we have Christ who ascended to heaven bodily and who's coming again. Well, Sarah Young has created a Christian version that sounds very much like that of these other
yes.
people, including Eckhart Tolle.
Right.
And they have a mystical awareness that replaces the biblical idea of believing the promises of God. And that's a different thing.
Right. You know, and Bob, in your article, you reveal that. You show excerpts from Eckhart Tolle's book and show almost synonymously Sarah Young is saying the same thing. And the key category in her book of Jesus calling is awareness of presence.
Right. That's what really shocked me, because when one of our readers gave me this book,
yeah.
and I finally got around to reading it, it's 365 days of words from Jesus. But I read the whole thing in a couple days, because that way you see what the themes are.
Right.
And I started counting these, and awareness of presence was done over and over.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was thinking, isn't that what Eckhart Tolle was saying? The reason I had done him, so we had a conference back in like 2008 or 9.
Yeah.
He'd been on Oprah Winfrey, and she was promoting Tolle through her book club.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
Okay. So she's a New Age pantheist
right.
too, or panentheist. And so we did a conference on that. And I reviewed his book. That's a CIC article. Well,
yeah.
he has the same categories.
Right, right.
So how is it that a man who doesn't claim to be Christian,
right,
who claims to be a follower of Eastern religion,
right,
who says that God, in a sense, is everything, is just, and you can read my article about Tolle
right.
and see how crazy that is. How is it that this Jesus from heaven that supposedly talks to Sarah Young.
Yeah, it's identical.
Is saying the same thing as this pagan pantheist.
Right, amen.
Are we really believing that Jesus from heaven teaches the same thing as Eckhart Tolle?
Right, isn't that sad?
Well, Sarah Young may say, well, no, I'm not a pantheist. I believe in Christian theism. But my issue is, how do you know that this spirit being that you claim is Jesus,
right,
who you do claim is talking to you. Now, I know Sarah Young says she believes in the Bible, and that's the ultimate authority, but she doesn't have enough knowledge of it to realize
right.
that these things coming into her mind,
yeah,
whether it's really a spirit being or just her mind playing tricks on her,
that's right.
is speaking categories that aren't in the Bible.
Right, right. That's
okay,
exactly
so
right.
Jesus says, above all, he wants his people to have awareness of presence,
wow.
according to Sarah Young. And so I went on using my software,
yeah,
Logos software, and searched the entire Bible. Awareness of presence isn't taught anywhere.
No.
Okay, so if this is the key thing Jesus wants us to have,
right.
how come nobody, not Moses, not the prophets, not the gospel writers, not the apostles, not anything Jesus himself says.
Right. Never asked us to do that.
Nobody ever said that.
Right.
So how can Sarah Young claim that Scripture is the authority,
right,
and then teach something from the mouth of Jesus in the first person?
Right.
That's the opposite of that. Maybe some people hear this. Some people need to start writing letters. And if your church is selling this book,
yeah,
go to the pastor. Say, why are you teaching New Age pantheism to the church? This is an abomination.
Right, right.
Why is it in a church that has the name Luther on it? Luther would throw that pastor right out of the church.
That's right. That's right. Well said. Now, Bob, this idea of awareness of presence and having this mystical Jesus that Sarah Young has is really contrasted with the biblical Jesus in the Scriptures. And a passage that you point out on the first page of your article that alludes to this is the 1 John 4, where John warns about how many false prophets have gone into the world. And he said, by this you know the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ come in the flesh is from God. Well, that's certainly a different Christ than that she has.
Okay, Jesus Christ come in the flesh isn't the same as Jesus Christ giving mystical impressions to the subconscious or conscious mind of a Christian mystic.
Exactly.
So it's Jesus calling and all of its afterword books, you know, they're selling out there.
Right.
Giving that to children, it's an abomination.
Right, right.
It really is.
It is. It's wicked.
I would never tell my children or grandchildren, learn how to hear voices in your mind. That'll be Jesus.
Right. How evil.
They could end up anywhere.
Lead them astray so fast.
But it promotes a mystical devotion to God on words from Jesus beyond Scripture.
Right.
Because when I wrote this article, I actually went through that book, the very first one from 2004,
yeah,
three times, and I found awareness of presence 58 times.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's in 365 little
devotions.
Sections,
wow,
for each day.
That's a lot.
So that's a big section of it.
Right.
And so presence is capitalized, just like Eckhart Tolle does.
Sure.
And I make a note that I'm not claiming she got this from Tolle.
Right.
She probably didn't.
Yeah.
If this is a Christian missionary, which I assume is true or was one,
right,
she probably isn't reading Eckhart Tolle from Oprah.
Right.
But how is it she ended up with the same categories?
I know, exactly. She has the same pantheistic categories as Tolle does.
I'll tell you, my idea is that it comes from deceiving spirits.
Wow, wow.
But I know what it, wherever it comes from, it's not the Jesus of the Bible.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about this. You know, when Jesus gives the promise that he'll be with us to the end of the age, you make a very important distinction in your article where you show, hey, Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And when he ascended, he sends the Spirit to us. And this fulfills
another comforter.
Yeah, the other comforter. But we know this not because of subjective impressions and not because we have some metaphysical impressions, but we know it by believing the promises of God. That's how we know it.
Right. If you're a CIC reader, and obviously you're listening to this podcast,
yeah,
or you found this audio on our website, you realize that we've also got YouTube videos where we talk about how to discern a true work of the Spirit.
Right.
And I did some work where I went through passage after passage in the New Testament,
yeah,
telling Christians how to objectively know what's from the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And the bottom line was, the Spirit that confesses Jesus Christ come into flesh.
Amen.
So if you just take that, and I give so many passages, it's undeniable.
Absolutely.
There's zero about awareness of presence.
Right, right.
There's many about any spirit that doesn't confess Jesus Christ come into flesh is not from God.
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit comes upon people in Acts, they confess Christ.
Yes.
They preach Christ.
Right.
The real Christ who really came in history bodily.
Right.
Who they saw and touched, 1 John 1, 1 and 2.
Right.
Who they literally, physically saw ascend into heaven.
Right.
Who promised them he was going to come again.
Exactly.
Who did send the Holy Spirit. How do you know it's the Holy Spirit? They confess Christ.
Amen. That's the manifestation.
Apply that, dear listeners, to Sarah Young, and you will never listen to her again.
Well said. Now, let's just talk for a moment. Jesus ascends into the heavens, and he even promises in John 14 that he knows that his disciples are going to be upset about his departure. But he says, believe God, believe also in me. And then he gives them the promise that he's going to make a place for them in the Father's house, and then he's coming back for them. And the reason I mention this is because at the coming of Christ, we see this in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says that the Lord himself will descend with the shout of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And what's so interesting about that is in Greek, it's called an adjectival intensive. It intensifies the idea that there's no surrogate going on behalf of Jesus Christ, but it's he himself in the flesh. So Jesus left in the flesh, and he's coming back in the flesh. That's how we know.
I know. How are there so many false Christs?
Right.
Well, they're not coming in the flesh.
Right. Amen.
None of these various Christs that have existed in history predicted their own crucifixion and then resurrection on the third day and then pulled it off.
Right.
Only the Christ of the Bible, the tomb is empty.
Right, yeah.
So this is objective truth.
Amen.
Now, Sarah Young says she believes all these things.
Right.
So why is she channeling this idea that this is Jesus saying, I want you aware of presence?
Right. Well said. And
why doesn't the Jesus from heaven say, believe my promises? That's what I told you to do.
Amen. Well said, Bob. You know, I was thinking about Paul in 2 Corinthians 11. He warns about a different spirit, a different Christ, a different gospel. Well, how can she be a follower of Christ and yet espouse a different Christ? That's what you're saying.
Well, but she denies she is.
Right. Right. She's not even aware.
But she's saying that these words that she's writing. Now, my daughter mentioned that the book I have is 2004.
Right.
Well, there's been all these subsequent things.
Yeah.
Well, she's backed down the claim a little bit to say, well, this is how I would think that Jesus would say to me.
Yeah, right.
But if she thought it was actually Jesus when she first wrote the book,
right,
and still writing these things in the first person, and if you hand these books out to your friends or give them to your kids or read them to your kids,
right,
so then you have first person saying, whoever this is, supposedly Jesus,
yeah,
says something like this. Here, let me quote the Jesus of Sarah Young.
Yeah.
Okay, this is from January 8th in the very original book.
You're right.
From 2004. Let me just quote it. Quote, shimmering hues of radiance tap gently at your consciousness seeking entrance. Though I have all power in heaven and earth, I am infinitely tender with you. Then there's an ellipsis. Let your weakness be a door to my presence.
Wow. How ambiguous, too, right?
Well, it's shimmering hues of what?
Radiance.
Of radiance.
Wow. What is that?
What is this?
Right.
If that's the way the biblical writers wanted us to understand our relationship to Jesus,
yeah,
where is it?
Right, right.
The only other version of this, now, when I was a new Christian, there was a popular book that was called Come Away, My Beloved, where it's allegorized to be Jesus and his followers.
Yeah.
And it was like this. It was kind of a sensual, romantic Jesus.
Right, right.
That was in the early 70s.
Yeah.
I mentioned that, I think, in my review here.
You do.
I remember seeing that book and picking it up, and I read a couple pages ago, oh, yuck, and put it down.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't have the discernment then. I do now.
Right, right.
Do I have to be some sort of a person who could write romance novels to be a Christian?
Right, that's exactly right. You know, Bob, and I've noticed more of evangelicalism trending this way. Before you and I got on radio, I was telling you about this song that I hear for, the company's called eHarmony.com. And what they are is they're a Christian dating site, and they have a song. It's actually a worship song, and it says over and over, all I want to do is be with you. Well, it's so ambiguous, this quote-unquote worship song, that you don't know if they're singing about the Lord or a girlfriend or boyfriend.
But it's about a girlfriend or boyfriend, or what is it?
Well, it's actually
about?
Supposed to be about the Lord, but eHarmony.com, this dating site, they cite it as a song about a romantic relationship between a man and a woman. The reason I mention that is this is a worship song, and it shows that even our worship and evangelicalism is so inundated with these romantic ideas where you're going to have this romantic relationship with Jesus through metaphysical impressions rather than believing the objective promises that he's revealed in the scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and I think in this article, I know I've done this in conferences and teachings.
Yeah.
And eventually I'm preaching through Ephesians. Now I'll get into the analogy that Paul makes about,
yeah,
you know, marriage.
Right.
The bride who's going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Right.
Is the corporate body of Christ.
Right. Not an individual.
Not an individual person.
Good point.
Okay. It's the entire church.
Right.
And that category disappears in these books.
Right, right.
So that's a problem as well. You can't appeal to that.
Right.
To somehow validate this sort of thing. So
yeah,
the category errors are everywhere.
Right.
And here's the question, Eric.
Yeah.
How could this happen to evangelicalism?
Yeah.
How is it that people don't know any better?
Right, right. You know, Bob, I know, and you and I have really been kind of at our wits' end about these things, and I think you and I both agree that one of the biggest problems is the departure from Scripture alone. And when the Scriptures aren't taught, what you have are people who are no longer given objective promises to believe. They're not given distinct categories between truth and error. And so what they do is they have this ambiguity given to them by false teachers. For example, when you decided the shimmering hues of radiance tap gently at your consciousness, it's so ambiguous. And compare that with what the apostles teach us. They're not ambiguous things. There's things that are concrete promises that God has given us.
You know, I think the idea is to try to make something more concretely appealing,
right,
than believing.
Right, right.
We've been broadcasting the series on Hebrews that I did about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I've got to wonder if Sarah Young has ever even read Hebrews.
Right, right.
Because if you want to think about why they were tempted to apostasy.
Yeah.
And why Hebrews is written.
Yeah, right.
This was before 70 AD, and these sacrifices were still going on.
Right.
If they wanted something more real and appealing to the senses,
yeah,
they could go and smell the smells and hear the bells and
exactly,
look at the garb of the priests and the high priest and the temple edifice.
Right.
It was a glorious thing. And the author of Hebrews is saying that if you go to that, that's apostasy against God.
Amen.
And it would be like the wilderness wanderers going back to Egypt.
Right. Well said.
He says Jesus died once for all. He's in heaven.
Right.
And we go to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, and he hears us. But notice it doesn't say he hears us and then speaks words to our subconscious mind.
Right. Right. The writer,
he doesn't send it back. His answer is shimmering hues of radiance.
Well said. You know, Bob, I thought about that same thing. In Hebrews 3 and 4, you see the reason why the unbelieving Israelites fell in the wilderness was a lack of faith. It wasn't a lack of awareness of presence. It was a lack of trusting in the objective promises of God.
Well, it got so bad that they didn't want Moses to talk to them. See, Moses went into the tent of meeting.
Right.
And some other people decided they would be better ones for that.
Right.
What happened to them?
Right, yeah, they got zapped.
Yeah. They died right then and there.
That's right.
We don't want Moses.
Right.
We want to do this our own way.
Right.
We can speak for God. There's no fear of God.
Right.
Our own personal needs can't trump what God has provided.
Right.
Maybe there are people who feel that going to the throne of grace in prayer, knowing that he hears us,
yeah,
knowing that he is our kinsman redeemer, I just preached that Sunday.
Right.
Knowing that his blood has once for all been shed.
Right.
Knowing that our sins are forgiven, knowing that we have an advocate with the Father, that's not enough. I got to hear him tell me something.
Right, exactly.
And the categories in here really just spill over into pop psychology.
Well said, Bob. And you know, you had mentioned Ann Voskamp earlier. One thing that I noted in her writing that's similar to what Sarah Young is doing is they also substitute the category of general revelation for special revelation, meaning there'll be a lot of talk about how you can sense God through nature, sense God through the sunshine, sense God. But what's interesting is general revelation, according to Romans 1, yes, it does give some true information to even pagans about who God is,
yeah,
but it only gives enough to damn them so that they're without excuse.
I know.
No one ever comes to saving faith through the general revelation.
Nature doesn't bring you to salvation.
Right. It gives you enough light to hang yourself as an unregenerate sinner.
Yeah,
born
nature has fallen too.
Right. Amen. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. So they're substituting the general revelation for the divine or special revelation.
Absolutely. So in my article on page 2 here, I have the PDF printout.
Yeah.
I cite Eckhart Tolle using the same categories that eventually we find in this Sarah Young. Eckhart Tolle, who doesn't claim to be a Christian, even
right,
though he claims Buddha and Jesus helped him.
Yeah, right.
Here's what Eckhart Tolle says. Only presence can free you of the ego. You can only be present now, not yesterday or tomorrow. Only presence can undo the past in you and transform your state of consciousness.
Wow.
Eckhart Tolle, the New Earth. So Tolle cites Buddha and Jesus.
Wow.
Sarah Young claims the entire 365 days of her devotion are citations of Jesus.
Yeah. Wow.
Or at least in her first version.
Right, and yet her language,
even though she says Scripture is the ultimate authority.
Yeah.
So then what are we going to do here? Because I published this in 2013. Now, that's 5 years ago.
Right.
And this is out on the internet, and people are finding it.
Yeah.
I think anybody who reads what she says and looks at the categories, and I explain carefully the categories the Bible lays out.
Right.
You can't just say her words that seem like they're from Jesus. Maybe now she claims they aren't necessarily.
Wow.
I don't know what she's claiming.
Right.
But she writes them as if they're from Jesus.
Yeah.
And the readers read them as if they're from Jesus.
Right.
But they contradict the Jesus of the Bible and his apostles.
Exactly.
Okay. Why isn't that obvious to everyone who says that they're a Christian?
Right.
Do you not even know the Bible?
Right.
If the most important category is awareness of presence 58 times.
Wow.
I find that in Eckhart Tolle many times. I can't find it even once in the Bible.
Right, right. Good
the
point.
The second most, I went and underlined all this and counted.
Yeah.
Second most prominent category, romantic intimacy.
Wow, right.
30 times. Mm. I also counted psychobabble. Now, I know that's pejorative, but I'm sorry. That's what it is, psychobabble.
Yeah, right.
I found that 22 times.
Right, right.
So we have Eastern religion.
Yeah.
Romantic intimacy that I don't think is appropriate.
Right.
Unless you think Song of Solomon was meant to be allegorized.
No, I don't.
It used to be.
Right, right.
Because of Rome and,
yeah,
I don't know, medieval mystics or whatever.
Right.
But now scholars believe it's to be taken literally.
Yeah, right.
Between a man and a woman.
Right, amen.
Okay,
yep.
Isn't this shocking?
It is, Bob. And you know what's interesting is you read that Eckhart Tolle quote from his book. Just to unpack his definitions, when he talks about presence, it really is synonymous with the Hindu understanding of Brahman.
Yeah.
This idea of the oneness of the, because there's no distinction really between the creator and the creation. Well, then what in Buddhism, what you're trying to do, and especially they would do this through meditation and yoga, is they try to release the ego themselves through the silencing of the mind. And contorting themselves into different positions, they try to get into contact with the Brahman and empty themselves of their ego, their self. And so he's teaching unadulterated Hinduism. And what's so shocking, as you just pointed out, Bob, Sarah Young is teaching the same thing Eckhart Tolle is teaching, which is nothing other than Hinduism and Buddhism.
Yeah, although I'm sure if somebody could interview her, she'd say, no, I believe that God
created
the world.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm not a Buddhist.
Right.
But isn't it confusing to use Buddhist categories?
Absolutely.
In the mouth of Jesus?
Right.
And going to Christians?
Yeah, and as you pointed out, calling that a devotional.
And the people that listen to Oprah Winfrey type spirituality, many claim to be Christian.
Right.
Okay, so all this is a deception.
Yeah.
And how exactly is this devotion?
Right.
That term is so abused.
Right.
I point out many times that in the early church, they devoted themselves to the Word of God, to prayer, the apostles' teaching.
Yeah.
Christian fellowship, which is objective.
Right.
Devotion
right.
isn't going off into some cubicle.
Right.
And trying to silence the mind until some kind of impression comes out of the world of the spirits.
Right, right.
How do you know what that is?
Well said.
How do you know it's from God?
Yes.
Where does the Bible tell us to silence our mind?
Right.
You know, after a while, maybe next week, we'll show you that how that verse that they use is one of the most abused verses in the whole Bible, you know.
Right.
The one about be still.
Right.
But we're running out of time. I want to do a couple more quotes.
Right.
Here's a quote from May 24th in the original book from 2004, supposedly quoting Jesus. Quote, let me infuse my presence into your thoughts. As your mind stops racing, your body relaxes, and you regain awareness of me, capitalized me.
Wow.
Ellipses that I put in there. There are actually more than four dimensions in this world where you live. This is Jesus supposedly teaching us here. In addition to, back to the quote, in addition to the three dimensions of space and one of time, there's the dimension of openness to my presence.
Wow. Unbelievable.
I couldn't have found any more clear teaching of New Age.
Yeah.
No matter how many New Age books I look for.
Right.
That's exactly what they teach. I've read piles and piles of books in research for articles, for my book on Rick Warren's movement and on Emergent. May 24th from the book, Jesus Calling.
Wow.
Here we have God infusing presence and claiming there's more dimensions.
Isn't that something?
I don't know the heart. I don't know the motive.
Right.
I don't know if Sarah Young was actually trained in Buddhism or New Age thinking. Maybe she wasn't. And this is just what happened when she did silence her mind.
Yes, right.
Well, then what is it?
A deceiving spirit.
It's not good.
Right, right.
It's not how you discern spirits.
Right.
If I heard something like that, I'd say, get thee behind me, Satan.
Right. Amen. That should be all of our reactions, absolutely.
There's more dimensions than what we know.
Right. How does she know that?
Some sort of a spiritual infusion.
Right, right. Where is this revealed?
We'll pick this up for next week, but we need to seriously consider this. People really want to protect their children, I understand. So why are you giving them books that are written by this person?
Yeah.
I got a picture on my, I got one of these new phones. I hardly ever use it, but my daughter took me pictures and sent them. Because I told her we're going to do this radio.
Right.
There they all lined up in church, books for children.
Oh, boy. That's so sad.
If you go to a church and that's the way it is and these books are sitting there.
Yeah.
What do you think your children are going to get?
Right.
Are they going to find out that there's more dimensions?
Right.
That there's some radiance of hues of divinity in our silenced subconscious mind? Do you want that for your children?
Wow.
I would be a lot happier if they just went and learned algebra and physics or chemistry or literature or history or something objective.
Right, amen.
Because if you look at the nations of the world that have had these kind of religious ideas.
Yeah, it's not good.
They're in utter poverty.
That's right. Caste systems, et cetera, et cetera.
It's awful.
It is.
The only way the Dalai Lama is healthy is that some people actually work and feed him.
Right, that's right.
You're going to starve to death sitting on top of a mountain trying to get close to God.
Right, right.
We better wake up. This is really bad.
It is, yeah.
We'll talk about it more next week.
Yeah, well, Bob, thank you so much for the research on this, and we'll continue this discussion next week. We're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We both want to remind all of you out there that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, look forward to teaching the people of God next week through your radio program with you here in the studio.
Amen.
We want to remind all of you out there to strive with one mind together for the faith of the gospel.